Amen. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful for all that you have done for us. Lord, for all that you have given to us. Lord, we're humbled to be in your presence. We're in awe of you. We worship you tonight. We bless you. May you be exalted. May you be magnified and lifted up. And Lord, we need help from you tonight. Utterance from heaven. Speak to our hearts, Lord. May we hear things that are specific and pertinent to our lives that help us change our lives tonight. Father, we say we're not going to walk out of here the same as the way we came in. And Father, we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've been talking about healing, haven't we? I think this is the fifth or sixth or seventh week. I lose track. But it was on my heart, you know, just at least do a small season, I guess, of just talking about healing. Because the Bible says that for us to walk in healing, we have to hear about healing. Amen. You need healing, you gotta hear about healing. The Bible talks about that Jesus went about preaching and teaching, and the result was healing. So if you'll avail yourself to preaching and teaching of the word on healing, you'll walk in healing. The Bible says they came out to hear Jesus and to be healed. And that's what we've been talking about, hearing and be healed. But I want to go tonight to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Man, my nose itches. What is up in there? Something crawled up in there, something. Woo, it tickles. Now it tickles. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. We're going to figure this out. We're going to get it. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Man, oh man. And so I just want to get right into it tonight. It says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14 says, that means the reason he did that is so the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So verse 13 says, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. If you don't know what it says, we're redeemed from the curse of the law so the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. And I don't have a lot of time to teach on that, but I'll just say it this way. When you look at the curse of the law, the curse of the law was spiritual curse, it was a physical curse, and it was a financial curse. Just the same way that the blessing of Abraham was threefold. It was a spiritual blessing, a financial blessing, and a physical blessing. And so the curse of the law is one of the main curses of the law is sickness in the body. You can find that over in Deuteronomy 28 in about verses 15 or 16, all the way to verse 60-something. And you'll read in there the curses of the law, and you'll see how many are dealing with sickness and disease. But the Bible says we've been redeemed from that. We've been redeemed from having to walk in sickness and disease. But what I do know is that at times we still do walk in sickness and disease. Christians, a lot of times, live a lifestyle of sickness and disease. And the Bible says Christ redeemed us or purchased our way out of that. So go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Why is that? Why does that happen? Why if Christ redeemed us from the curse, why do we still at times struggle with sickness? And Christians all over the world, you know, don't walk in healing and don't see the light of day on healing. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. The Bible tells you not to give the devil a place in your life. Well, what does the devil come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. One of the main ways that he does this is through sickness and disease. What can steal and destroy and kill a person, you know, at times more than sickness and disease? It robs from people, doesn't it? Robs from people on a whole. It robs peace. It robs joy. It robs finances. It robs being able to go out and, you know, enjoy life. It just robs so much. And the Bible says to don't give place to the devil. Well, what I want to just mention real quick is that the devil can't have a place in you unless you give it to him. He can't just do whatever he wants to do. He's not free to do anything he wants in you. And the way you can see that is, if he was free to do whatever he needed to do to you, why would he have to deceive you first? If he could just do whatever he wanted, he just would do it. But he always needs your cooperation. He deceives people. We saw it with Adam and Eve. The devil, there was a lot at stake in the garden. Well, why didn't he just take it and make him do what he wanted? He couldn't, but how did he get it from him? He deceived him. Well, he couldn't strip Jesus from his anointing and his plan in Luke chapter 4 in the wilderness. And how did he try to get it from Jesus? He tried to deceive him. He couldn't push Jesus off the cliff. Couldn't make Jesus bow down and worship him. He couldn't make Jesus perform a miracle of turning the stones into bread. But how did he try? He tried to deceive him. And so it's the same way. Don't give place to the devil. The Bible's saying, keep the devil outside. Praise God. Don't open a door for him. And, it's important when you say this, though, that if you're facing a test or trial of sickness and disease, it doesn't mean that you have failed and that you have opened a door. It can mean that, but it doesn't mean that you have done that. Amen? There are differences between attacks from the enemy, because we see precedence in the Word. You can be doing everything right, and the devil will attack you for that because he's trying to keep you out of some things. But we also see precedence in the Word that there are what you would call causes to sickness and disease. So if you're going through a test or trial, sickness and disease doesn't necessarily mean there's a failure. But if there is a failure on our part, then there's a cause. The failure is the cause. Amen? And so what I want to talk about tonight, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. Says, for this cause, many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. And that sleep means to die prematurely. It says, for this cause, many are weak, sickly, and then sleep or die prematurely. That's the progression of sickness and disease. Weak, sickly, die prematurely. And it says that there's a cause for it, for this cause. And so what I want to talk about tonight is hindrances to walking in divine healing and hindrances in receiving divine healing if you have things in your body. Doctors said something, symptoms in your body. Because the Bible says there's causes for it. So let's find out what they are. I mean, I don't want to be my own enemy. Hallelujah. Now, it's important that the Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 20 that if our heart condemns us, you know if you've opened a door. The devil will give you all sorts of thoughts of condemnation, guilt, shame, and depression. Those aren't from God. Amen? Because he'll tell you it's always your fault, always your fault. No, if it's your fault, your heart will know it. If our heart condemns us, the Bible says. So if we've opened a door, if I already know this, that there's an enemy out to get me, I don't want to join forces with him. And if the Bible, that's why I said the Word is so good in that slick text today. The Word is so good that God would show us how to avoid these things. How to stay out of sickness and disease. How to keep from hindrance. So are you ready to look at those things? Let's look at those things here tonight. Number one, found in 1 Corinthians 11:29. We'll just hop up a verse. Number one, if you're a note taker, to causes. Now, is this every single cause in the Word? No, but it's some of the main ones that the Bible points out and what was on my heart to preach about. Number one, if you're a note taker, is not discerning the Lord's body. It says in verse 29, for he that eats and drinks unworthily, talking about communion. What's communion? Communion is partaking of the elements of the Lord. The bread represents the body. The blood represents, the juice represents the blood. The bread represents the body. It says, whoever eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Or you could say it this way, not understanding or recognizing the Lord's body. Well, what's the result of that? Verse 30 says, for this cause. So the cause that it's talking about here, that verse 30 in the beginning when I said that, I wanted to point out that there's causes to sickness, but now it's going to tell us specifically here what a main cause of sickness is. It says, for this cause. Well, what's this cause we're talking about? Not recognizing or discerning the Lord's body. It says, and it covers a whole lot of it, because the Bible says, for this cause, many. Not all, but many sounds like a majority. Many sounds like more than a few. Not just a little. He says, many Christians are sick, weak, and die prematurely for this cause. What cause? They don't recognize the Lord's body. They don't discern the Lord's body. Now, when talking about the Lord's body, we're talking about a twofold application here. It's a twofold application. You have Jesus' physical body, and you have the spiritual body of Jesus, which is the church. And so it's a twofold application. The Bible says if you don't recognize and fully understand the Lord's body, don't discern it properly, it will lead to sickness, disease, premature death. And the first thing is found in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, talking about his body on the cross that died for us, that paid the price, that took the beating that it did, his body broken so ours wouldn't have to be. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, now again, I don't have time to teach on all this right now. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And if you've been with me long enough, you know that the translator translated griefs and sorrows wrong. Any other time or place in the Bible, those words were used, griefs and sorrows, in the Hebrew, they were always translated sickness and pains. So you can read it this way, surely Jesus took our sickness and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, the stripes that wounded his body, the things that happened to his body, we are healed. Amen. What's he saying here? He's saying that Christ didn't die just for our sins, he died also for our healing. Well, I know by talking to a lot of you, and I'm included in that group, and she's included in that group, and a lot of you are included in that group, you came from places that had never told you that. That Jesus, he died on the cross for your sins, but you had no idea that he also died for your sickness. Why did he die for our sickness? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, hanging on a tree. When he was on the tree, he redeemed us. He paid the penalty for our sickness. Well, just like salvation, until you find out about that, you don't receive it. There are so many Christians on planet Earth that are walking in sickness and disease simply because they have no idea they don't have to. They have no idea that just as much as their sins are paid for, their sickness was paid for. And maybe in this series at some point, or we'll go into further detail and show it the Word. I know I just preached that not too long ago in Allegheny. Maybe we'll do that here, depending on what the Spirit of God says. But a lot of people have no idea. We're all in on, yeah, he died for our sins. He died for our sins, but he died just as much for your sickness as he did your sins. In fact, he died just as much for your poverty as he did, absolutely. He paid for your poverty as well. But a lot of people don't know it. And what you don't know, you can't receive from. Jesus said, if you want to be set free, it's not just the fact that there's truth. You have to know the truth. So not recognizing and not discerning, and if you're here tonight, you say, I didn't know. Well, you need to start going down the road of knowing in that, finding out what he paid for. Because sickness is trespassing on the Christian's body. But you know what? You can't bust a trespasser if you don't know the boundaries. If you don't know where the line is, you can't have confidence to get a trespasser off your property. If you don't know where the line is, you don't have the posted sign, don't have where the lines are, trespassers just go right on there. They can say, well, I'm here. No, well, how do you know? Just prove it to me. Amen. Amen. And a lot of people don't know that when sickness comes on their body, it's trespassing. Why? They haven't discerned. But the second application I want to spend a little more time on is that not only is the not discerning the Lord's body, talking about the body of Jesus that took the penalty, but the Bible also says that the body of Christ is the church. There's two bodies of Christ. The literal physical body of Christ and the spiritual body of Christ. And the Bible says that if we don't discern or recognize that, that it will lead to sickness and disease. Many are sick and weak. And what I want to talk about, the church is not doing your part. When you don't recognize your part in the body of Christ, many are weak, sick, and sleep among you because they don't recognize their part in the body. Because when you discern that there's a body of Christ, then you discern that you're a part of that body. And just like any part of your body functions better when both hands are working, all your fingers, all your toes, your legs, your eyes, your ears, right? You're not okay with just your eyes not working, or your nose not working, or your... It works better when everything's functioning together. And when you understand that you are a part of the body, that tells you that not only are you a part of the body, you have a part to play. Amen. And if you don't play that part, it'll hurt the body. And you just didn't discern the body of Christ. And many are weak, sick, and sleep among you. We'll go to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Praise God. We don't want to be sick around here. And I'm not going to help the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, everybody say the whole body, not just the pastors, not just the faithful ones that will sign up for anything. If you're a Christian, you are part of the body. And remember what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12, that the eye doesn't say, I might use a different body part, I'll use my own. The eye doesn't say, hey, I'm an eye, I don't need the nose. Or the nose doesn't say, hey, I got my part, I can sniff real good, I don't need the feet. No, the nose needs the feet, the eyes needs the ears. We all need it, part of this body. And it says the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted that which everybody say every. Every joint supplieth. What's God's will for every person in the body of Christ? To bring their supply to the body. Yeah. You're either bringing a supply or sucking the life out of something. It's one of two things. The Bible says when you don't discern the body, because part of discerning the body is understanding you have a part in the body. And when you understand you have a part in the body, that you have to recognize that you have a part to play in the body. You want to see, I want to tell you real quick four things. I could probably spend the whole night just on this, but I'm just going to go through this quick because it's on my heart to get this out. Maybe we'll spend more time on it another time and preach it on a Sunday morning. But four things where you can bring your supply to the body. Are you ready to find out how to be a supply? Yes. Number one, attend services faithfully. Say, so what does that have to do? It's not, again, it's not the act of coming to church. Although that's being obedient by doing that. But why attend services regularly? You want to know why you attend services regularly? And if you don't, you're going to struggle with health and healing? Because this is where your spirit gets its education. And you know where you rule and reign from? Your spirit, not your mind, not your flesh. You rule and reign from your spirit. Church is spiritual education for you. You know what you find out in church? The answers to the tests in life. I told you about the time I preached a whole series on healing. And someone, a family had just fallen off the map and weren't there. And they came and started just, I mean, when they got sick, they came back. Said, I mean, they just weeping and wailing, and I'm glad to help them, but I needed to tell them truth first. He said, what do I do? What do I do? I said, go back in time 6 weeks ago and come to church. I gave you every answer that you needed for this test you're going through. That's what happens all the time. That's why I bang the drum of Wednesday night services. Mail's being handed out. And I get some people sometimes can't be here, but there's no reason why everybody can't listen and catch up on live stream and get their mail. Praise God. And this is where they're getting their answers. And, you know, if you go to school one day and there's a test coming up and the teacher says, on this day, I'm going to give you some of the answers to the test. And you're not there that day. I mean, that teacher warned you, be there. It's your spiritual education. Number one, why we learn about this stuff. Learn how to be victorious, how to walk these things out. And people don't attend service and they don't learn. And then when it shows up at their door and tests come at their door, what's the answer? The answer was given on Wednesday night. The answer was given on Sunday morning. The guest minister gave the answer. Attend services, yeah. Second thing about bringing your supply to your church is being faithful in the tithe and the offering. Yeah. People don't recognize how spiritual of a thing giving is. God calls it an indicator of where your heart is. God calls it a matter of honor. God calls it a matter of whether the house of God, you know, the place where we worship Him, that's helped change so many of our lives, whether it's fully funded or not, depends on the people. Absolutely. I remember the story of a lady at Pastor Jay Eberle's church. Pastor Jay Eberle is a spiritual son of Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and he has a wonderful church in Iowa. I've been there for one of Pastor Nancy's conferences there. And Pastor Jay was telling a story of a faithful lady in his church who had some condition that where she was bleeding uncontrollably at a very alarming you know, losing a lot of blood, basically what it was. And she's in the emergency room, and in all the chaos that's going on and stuff, and she's starting to go out, like she's starting to fade away, you know. And she said Jesus appeared to her, and she thought when she saw him that he was, this is it, I'm dying, he's coming to take me to heaven. And she started to say, Jesus, I can't go. I got a family. I got kids. And she started to get all the reasons. I can't go now. My kids need me. My family, my church needs me. And she said, when she said that, Jesus got a huge smile on his face. He said, I didn't come to take you to heaven. I came to tell you, you're not going anywhere because you're a tither. What was he saying to her? Your supply to your church matters. You take away the tithes and the offerings, you take away the church. I'm just telling you. People don't realize the lifeblood of finances in a church, of the supply that it brings. And didn't it say over there in Malachi chapter 3 that I'll rebuke the devourer for the tither's sake? That's what it says. He says it's a matter of your heart. It's a matter of so many things. And so many times, God has a plan for a church, wants to get things done. Everybody that's called to this place, if they brought their supply, we'd be able to do a whole lot more. And people don't bring their supply, and then they wonder, what's going on? What's happened? Why is that? Brother Hagin tells a story of his Sunday school teacher that had an accident, was about to die. And Brother Hagin went and pleaded before God and said, he can't go right now. He's my Sunday school director, and he's one of the tithers in the church. We need him. And the Lord raised him up. It's so valuable. It's part of bringing your supply. But see, when you don't understand that that's a vital supply, that's just money. Pastor Mike's talking about money. No! It's a vital supply. And the Bible says every joint needs to bring their supply. Their supply, which is what? Your 10% and then your offering. Now again, that's not me saying you have to do it, because it's always between you and God. But I'll tell you what the Bible says you should do. Bring in your supply, not discerning the body. Well, someone else will do it. Well, that's just that money talk. No, you're not bringing your supply. And the Bible says when you don't discern the body, many are weak, sick, and die prematurely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that'll be a good one. They'll go out and say, Pastor Mike said, I'm going to be killed if I don't bring my tithe. Nah, but the Bible did say if you don't discern the body. Yeah. Amen. Third thing you can do to bring your supply is by praying for your pastor in the church. Bring your supply in prayer. We see, this is why you could teach a whole series on this, just right here, but we see in the book of Acts, where Peter, out in front leading the way, you know, of a ministry, or James was out in front leading the way to ministry, and he was killed by the devil through a man, Herod. And the Bible says that it pleased them, and they were going to go ahead and take James as well, or Peter as well, but the Bible says the church woke up and the church prayed, and they were delivered. That's Acts chapter 12, by the way. And it was delivered. Well, what happened? The church brought their supply and it mattered. What are we talking about? Bring in your supply to local church. Attend services, bring your supply financially, bring your supply in prayer. And then last but not least about bringing your supply to the church is serving in the ministry of helps. Amen. Serving in the ministry of helps. Nobody, not one person, is called to a body of Christ, a local church, to do nothing in that church. I'm just here to tell you now, people that are newer, you know, we always say just be faithful for a few months and then we'll get you into serving. But there's people that go years and years and years and years and years, never sign up for anything, never want to do anything, never want to help anything. You know what that's called? That's called a mooch. Because that's what, when you're in a family, everybody pitches in and helps. Amen. And that's a, you don't realize, maybe you do realize, I should say the body of Christ doesn't get as a whole a revelation, of the vitality of the ministry of helps. We see this up here, we think, well, he's the show. He's the head honcho of this. I might be leading the way, but Tom Brady, you know, he's done real good in his career. Won a lot of Super Bowls. Gets a lot of the accolades. Is out in front, right? Gets a lot of the endorsements. Gets a lot of the praise. But you go ahead and take Tom Brady's offensive lineman away and see how good he is. Put 100-pound men up against the 350, 400-pound men. Put men there and just give Tom Brady a wide receiver that can't catch the ball. Give him a running back that can't run. It's a truth. The ministry of helps is a vital supply to the church. Hallelujah. Can't go forward without it. What am I saying? The body will suffer without the ministry of helps. Amen. I'm talking about bringing your supply. Praise God. Anyways. Also, when you understand and recognize that the body of Christ, the Christian, is the makeup of the body. Jesus is the head, so he's part of the body. You won't cause strife and division. And talk bad about another Christian. Why? When you talk bad about another Christian, you're talking bad about the body. You're talking bad about Jesus. Remember Paul? Paul was persecuting the church. Before he was Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus in Acts there. He's persecuting church, dragging men and women off the church before he gets born again, thinking he's doing the right thing. He's hurting families, Christian families. And Jesus appears to him and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Well, Jesus physically was never dragged off to prison by Paul or beaten by Paul or thrown in a prison by Paul or had his personal family wrecked by Paul while he was on the earth or Saul at the time. But Jesus took it personal. Jesus took it personal. When somebody messed with one of his children or the body, Jesus said, you're messing with me. When we backbite and cause strife in the body, we're messing with him. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Why am I sick all the time? Well, stop being a backbiter. Stop being a gossiper. Stop being a... You know, we don't put up with that around here. We're just not going to put up with it around. We're going to walk in love around here. And if you choose not to walk in love and don't, and you want to spread lies and people talk about the pastor to other people. And then it hurts the... I'll tell you what, you better be careful. You talk about the pastor and you get offended at the pastor and you start spewing your mouth and it causes that person to lose confidence in their shepherd. And then when they come, they don't receive from their shepherd and then it causes them to walk into wrong things. We just won't put up with it around here. Either people are going to get on board, walk in love, and be kind to one another, or they can go somewhere else. Amen. We're a family here. Amen. I don't just let Caleb and Abby just beat on each other and talk bad about one another and treat each other bad. How many times have I told you, buddy, don't talk to her that way? Or Caleb or Abby, you knock that off. Why? We're a family. Don't do that stuff here. Amen. There's consequences if you don't. If you don't get in line, praise God. Amen. So not discerning the body. Again, I could spend so much time on that. And I do believe that maybe on a Sunday morning we'll preach about this sometime and go into deeper. But it's not just the Wednesday night crew needs to hear it. The whole church needs to hear it. Number one is not discern the body, hindrances to divine healing, hindrances to walking in divine healing or receiving your healing. Go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. I won't spend a whole lot of time on these because I want to get these out. I don't have it in my spirit to turn this into a two-week message. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says that you need be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You need divine healing? You can't have divine healing without faith. What's another hindrance to receiving divine healing? Lack of faith. Just not believe. You don't believe it. Not sold out to the fact that it's possible, that it's for you. That right? A lot of people don't have faith in those areas. That's true. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is the wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. For let not that man, what man? The doubter, the waverer, think he'll receive anything of the Lord. You can't expect to receive your healing and be in doubt and unbelief. What's that mean? Believing the symptoms more than believing the word. Believing the doctor's report more than you're believing the word. And with faith, and another hindrance that would go along with this, would be speaking wrong. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 that death and life. Well, what's an incipient of death is sickness. Sickness goes before death. Death and life are in the power of this thing, the tongue. Well, I always get sick. How am I going to do this? You can't talk wrong. Lack of faith is a hindrance, praise God. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 14. So number one is not discerning the body of Christ. Number two is not in faith. And if you want to know what faith is being sold out. That you are convinced. The doctors say one thing. The symptoms say one thing. But you are convinced that healing is going to manifest in your body. Like, you're not hopeful. You're not wishful. You're not wanting, just wanting. You might have hope. You might have the desire and all that. But you are sold out like you know. Right? And we use the sun as the example. We all are convinced the sun is coming up tomorrow. We know without a shadow of a doubt it's coming up tomorrow. Just like that's being convinced. That's being sold out. That's having belief. Right? Praise God. So number one is not discerning the Lord's body. Number two is a lack of faith. Number three is found in John chapter 5. In verse 14, afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple. This was the gentleman that got put into the water. Had a sickness for 38 years. Was healed by Jesus. And afterwards he finds Jesus in the temple and says unto him, Jesus said, behold, you are made whole. What's that mean? Sickness is gone. Sin no more. Stop sinning, he said to him. Lest, or if you don't stop sinning, the result will be a worst thing will come upon you. What's another hindrance to receiving divine healing or walking divine healing? Sin in people's lives. Well, Romans 6 says that the wages of sin or a sinful lifestyle is death. Amen. Death doesn't just start with a flat line. It progresses weak, sick, sleep, premature sleep, death, premature death. And it says sin. He said, sin no more. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 1 says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication. What's that? That's sexual sin. Among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles. It says, this isn't even going on in the people that don't know God. And it's going on in the church. That one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I, this is Paul saying, verily absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus to deliver such a one, what? One walking in sin. To Satan for the destruction of the what? Flesh. That the spirit might be saved in the Lord's day. And there's a whole lot to unpack there and I don't have a lot of time to unpack it. My point is this. Sin led to the destruction of the flesh. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't stop sinning, sickness will be the result and it'll be worse than what you've experienced. And he already was sick for 38 years. Yeah. How many of you know that one step into sin is one step out of God? Yeah. One step into sin is one step out of walking out of love. We know that walking out of love is a sin. We know that unforgiveness is a sin, right? I love the story that a gentleman told me. I use it all the time because it brings out the point so much. He had struggled with shoulder issues. This was years ago. Struggled with major shoulder issues, and he had been to some big name ministers that had healing anointings and had hands laid on him for these things. And he knew the word, believed in healing. The belief wasn't the problem. He knew Jesus died for his sickness as well as his sins. He knew that healing belonged to him. He knew the steps of faith. And went to ministers, released his faith, said nothing changed, just kept getting worse. This wasn't an attack of a season. It was a lifestyle of this sickness. And he was driving down the road one day and got frustrated and said, Father, I don't understand. Well, the Bible says if you'll acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll show you. Amen. If you want to know something and need to know something from God, if you're serious enough about it, he'll show you. He will. But we can't treat him like a drive-thru. Remember that? We talked about that Sunday. Many people just treat him like a drive-thru, and they don't get their answer in 1 hour. They don't get their answer after praying for 10 minutes one day. Oh, I'm just going to do my own thing. Well, that's the problem. And so he throws his hands up and says, Lord, I don't understand this. I've been to all the big name, the ones that have had miracle signs and wonders, results, quoted the word to God. Said, I believe you died for this. It's not, the problem's not with my faith. I don't understand why I'm not receiving. And the Lord said this to him, spoke up to him in the spirit. He said, he had never heard it before. All of a sudden he said, you won't forgive your dad. So he said to him, you won't forgive your dad. That's why your healing won't come. Well, what was not forgiven his dad? Walking in sin. Walking out of love. Walking in sin. He said he pulled over the car, threw his hands up in the air, as high as he could get the one shoulder anyways, and said, forgive me for that sin. Walking out of love. Repented. Which is, by the way, the answer to all sin. The answer to sin is not sitting there and beating yourself up. No, just repent and get it out of the way. And so he throws his hands up there and says, Lord, forgive me for not forgiving my father. I release him of that. Now, I don't know if he needed to go to him. I don't know if he was still alive or whatever it was. He was just holding grudge and bitterness. Whatever it was, he got it right in that vehicle. So forgive me. I release that. I let that go. Remember, forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's a choice. If you wait to forgive by feeling, you might never forgive. And he threw his hands in the air and said that to the Lord. He said immediately he felt something go through his body and his shoulder was completely healed. Years of being in the Word. Years of being with ministers and things that have anointings. And all because of sin. Why? Because sin is a hindrance to receiving healing. Don't expect to walk in healing. Don't expect to walk in prosperity if your love walk stinks. You treat people wrong and hold grudges and are bitter. Don't expect to receive the blessing. That's why I'm always amazed. I hear people that just run their mouth about other people and other Christians and people in the news and things, and they just run their mouth. And they're the same people that sit across from me and say, the Word's not working for me. Well, it's because you're not working it. The Word always works. There's always a cause. Amen. It's the truth. Why am I always in pain? Because you never shut your mouth. I'm just saying this in general. It's the truth. You can't walk out of love and walk into bitterness and grudges and just... The Bible says put a guard on this thing. What's a guard do? Make sure the right things get out, right thing, you know. Can't just do that. People do it all the time. Go to Mark chapter 5 and verse... Well, let's just go right to verse 34 because we know this story. Mark chapter 5 and verse 34. So number one, not discerning the Lord's body. Twofold application there. Number two, not having faith. Number three, walking in sin, which is unforgiveness, walking out of love, disobeying the Word. Number four is a lack or a loss of peace. Mark 5 and verse 34, Jesus, this is the woman with the issue of blood, and I believe we're all familiar with that story here. And she had suffered, remember, 12 years, came to Jesus. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And then he gives her instructions. Go in peace. Go in peace and behold thy plague. Amplified, please, Kim Lai. It brings it out so much clearer. Go to the last sentence there. No, you can go back, but in the last sentence it says, go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. What did he say? If you want to continue this healing from here, that means stay healed. You can't allow worry, anxiety, stress, fear to get in. Anything that would rob your peace will also rob from your healing. We don't have to take time to turn there, but remember in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, stop worrying about your life. And remember what we always tell you about stop. Stop signs are there for a reason. Why? Stop signs keep you safe. Stop signs keep you from getting in wrecks and to crashing your life and getting hurt. Stop worrying, he's saying. He's not saying that to you just because he has nothing else to say. It's just, no, it's for a reason. He's putting a stop sign there in front of worry, which is anxiety, stress, fear, all those things. He's saying, stop it. Why? You can't keep your healing. You can't. Well, we know what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 with the boat. He said, when you're worried, there's no faith. There's no faith. Lack of peace. Lack of peace. Now, I know what people think at times. That's easy to say, but you never walked a day in my shoes. Well, I don't have to, but Jesus saw every day in your shoes. He saw every single day that you'd be in your shoes that you're walking in. every single test, every single trial, every single mountain that would come in your way, every single bit of opposition, and he told you, stop worrying about your life. Be anxious for nothing, he said in Philippians 4, 6 through Paul. Don't worry. He told this woman here. Now remember, you know what he's telling that to? A woman that has no money. A woman that the world still thinks has a sickness that's so shameful. And she's broke. We know she's broke. He's saying to the poor person, stop worrying. Don't have worry about that. But she's got bills to pay. Don't worry about it. So how is that possible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 tells us exactly how it's possible. He said, go in peace, go in peace, go in peace. What's he telling you from this place tonight? Go in peace. Go in peace. Wake up in peace. Go to work in peace. Come home in peace. Leave your house in peace. Leave this place in peace. You got to deal with that worry, that anxiety, that fear, that stress. Lack of peace. You can't walk in your healing. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Isn't that what he told her to go into? Peace. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or fixed on thee. Well, how do we keep our mind on him? He is the Word. I'll never forget Pastor Nancy said this statement. And I've used it so many times, I probably shouldn't give her credit for it anymore. Because, you know, once you quote a preacher too many times, you just use it for yourself, you know. And don't tell everybody you came up with it, but don't tell everybody you didn't. Of course, I'm tongue-in-cheek. It's all the Word. It's all the Word anyways. And she said, because people will say, I can't stay in peace, my money. I can't stay in peace, my doctor's report. I can't stay in peace, my kids. I can't stay in peace, my job situation. I can't stay in peace, this and that. Well, he said, I'll keep you in perfect peace, not if your money's all there. Not dependent on whether or not the healing's all there. Not dependent on everything's lined up, your ducks are in a row, all your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed. No. He said, perfect peace is the result of your mind. And she said this. She said, when you're thinking right, seemingly not enough money won't trouble you. When you're thinking right. She said, when you're thinking right, symptoms in your body won't scare you or trouble you when you're thinking right. Because when the broke person thinks right, they know that has to change because the Word says prosperity's coming. When the sick person is sick, they know there's help for that. I don't have to be troubled about that doctor's report. That doctor's report's just a man's report. In a natural report, God's a supernatural God when you're thinking right. But if you don't keep your mind on the Word, you're darn right when you're going through sickness and things with your family and things in your money. You are going to worry. Why? That's the natural inclination of a person. The way the natural man wants to go in the flesh, because it's the flesh is the problem and the mind is the problem, goes that way. Have to stay in peace. Have to keep peace in your life. So again, number one, not discerning the body. Number two, lack of faith. Number three, sin. Number four, a lack of peace. And the last one that the Lord had me to go to is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. I'll tell you what was so freeing for me as a pastor is looking at Jesus in the parable of the sower. He just told them what to do. If they didn't do it, it wasn't his problem. He didn't sit around and worry about it, didn't sit around and stress about it. He was bold, told him exactly what to do, but it's up to them. If you want to walk out of here and not deal with that peace and sit there and think, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say, everything's good for you. First of all, nobody knows. Just because I'm not a sounding board or a billboard for all the problems that come in my life and the tests that come in my life doesn't mean I don't have them. Jesus already told you in the world you'll have tribulation. Jesus already told you in the Word that the afflictions come to the righteous. I'm not exempt from them. In fact, we do see precedence in the Word that people are out in front leading and have an anointing. They get bombarded and hit hard. But if you don't want to go out here and do anything with that worry and just think, well, that doesn't, right? Or forgiveness, you know, we talk about, yeah, but they don't understand what, he doesn't understand what they did to me. That's up to you. It's so freeing just to be able to preach the Word and let it fall where it may. Not that I don't want everybody to do it, but you know, younger, when I was younger and things, it would stress me out so bad. Because I'd see people do things that would hurt their life, and you'd almost try to want to twist their arm to get to do the right thing, and that's not what Jesus did. In fact, Jesus said, if people don't receive the word, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But I encourage you to do the Bible. That's like when I talk about the whole money thing. That's between you and God, but I'm going to tell you what's right. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, a companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants or my needs. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. So this guy Paul's talking about was sick in body. For indeed he was sick, and now look at how bad it was. He was sick unto death to the point of dying. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but me also, that I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was near unto death. Now we would think, wow. If we didn't read the rest of that verse, we'd think, wow, what a guy. Now no doubt his heart was right. But how many of you know, your heart and motives can be right, and if your actions are... Let me tell you, I can have a heart to help a teenage girl going through hell on earth. I can have a heart for that. I can't take her to dinner by myself. I'll get in trouble for that. My heart can be right. My motives to help her, just sit there and sow things into her, I can't show up. Go out to dinner with some 16-year-old girl that's not a cousin or a, you know, sister or whatever. Even though my motives are right, my actions will get me into trouble. Amen, it's true. That's the truth. And his motive and his heart was right, but his actions were wrong, and it messed him up. If we'd stop right there, we think, wow, what a guy. He worked so hard for Jesus that he almost died. Well, the Bible doesn't say we have to work so hard for Jesus that it almost causes us to die. He said we could live long on the earth, healthy and strong. Why did he almost die? Not regarding his life. To supply your lack of service towards me, what was he doing? Violating wisdom. Violating natural things. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, some things that I see in the body of Christ that people struggle with naturally, here he's going, going, and going. John G. Lake, 100,000 healings, confirmed healings. All the churches, all the miracle signs and wonders, died from overworking. They said about John G. Lake, he did the work of two men on the earth. He wouldn't sleep, he would just go, go, go. What did he? He disregarded rest. Now I'm going to say a statement that might make you mad, but I don't care. I love you so much, I'm going to say it. You'll either learn to rest or you'll be forced to rest. It's up to you. You can learn to rest or you'll be forced to rest, because the body was never created to go, 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 go. In fact, God was the example and said, I took a day to rest. If God didn't need to work seven, neither do you. And you say, well, Pastor, but I got these bills. That's not my problem. That's not God's problem. That's your problem. You've created that in your life. It's time to get it fixed. So people say, well, I don't have time to come to church. Not God's problem, not my problem. I'm just telling you what the Word says to do. Amen. He didn't regard his life. What was he doing? Going, 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 going. This is a tough one for me personally, so if you're in this boat with me, I'm in it with you. I'm a goer. I don't like sitting around doing nothing, but I've had to, by faith, train myself to put my phone aside. Not touch my phone, just do nothing but sit there at times and just rest for hours. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm not telling you how to walk this out. I'm not telling you to need 24 straight hours. I'm not getting you some law bondage type thing. But you need to take rest. And if you don't, you will pay for it. Here's a guy that's doing the Lord's work, helping Paul. And God didn't look down and say, you know what? He is totally violating natural laws, totally violating the law of rest. and what I've said in the Word about resting and taking care of your body. But he's doing my work. I'm going to give him the supernatural covering and keep him safe. Nope. John G. Lake died before he was supposed to. Yeah. I could go into some stories, but I can't by the Holy Ghost, but I'll just say it this way. There are things that have happened and people have died young and died before they're supposed to, and it was just because of a disregard of the natural. And that's all I'll say about that. Hallelujah. What about how we eat? You know, I've talked to doctors, and there's one lady, Jen Husen, you know, she's a nurse practitioner, isn't she? But she's like real, like one step from being a doctor, you know. She's at the Allegheny Church, and she was telling me patients that she sees, just simple diet and exercise would change the majority of their problems. Well, we can't just treat our body any old way. You know what Brother Hagin said? The only regret, or I should say not the only regret, but the number one regret, if he could change anything in his ministry. Now, this is a man that lived into his 80s, that did the work of God, that started churches and this ministry and responsible for all these churches that gone out and all these books and the Word of Faith, the Revelation. He said the regret that he had is he wished he would have taken care of his body better. You only get one body. You only get one body. Now again, when you hear the Word, you become responsible for doing the Word. And the way people are nowadays, because I know I've been there, go, 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 all the time. Running there, running there, running there. We limit how much our kids can do. Why? I'm not going to run myself into the ground. Just truth. Amen. I'm not going to do it. I limit how much I do and appointments that I take, you know. And at times now, I've even started, because of his leading, if I can do phone appointments, I'll do phone appointments. Or I'll just schedule them when I'm at church. Why? I'm not making a special trip anymore. Because it's wearing me out. I'm preaching 4 days a week. Sometime I got to just have time to set aside to pray and to seek God. But I'll do phone appointments. They're so much easier for me. Don't be a person. Oh man, this is an utterance now. Don't be a person that demands that you be face to face with me in a meeting. I can give you the same information on a phone call. Now, if I can do a meeting, I will. Like when I'm at church and stuff, I do meetings all the time. But you'll see that most of my appointments now are after a Wednesday service or after Sunday service. Why? I'm already here. Amen. It's the truth. You know, so many times I've had meetings before, people that demand that, and I get in front of them, and the whole time I'm thinking, what a waste of time this was. They're just, they want to rob your attention. They want to steal your joy, you know, steal from you. And it's just not right. Amen. So I've had to, because before I'm just I'll go, because that's my heart to help. That's what Aphrodite's heart, that's what a lot of you are. It's just, I got to go for my family, for my kids, for this and that. Yeah, but if you're not resting and regarding your body, eating right, exercising, doing the right things, getting the right amount of sleep, you will pay for it. I don't care how much you confess. I don't care how many times they lay hands on you. I don't care how many scriptures you say. It doesn't matter. He was doing the work of God. It didn't matter. Didn't regard it. Amen. Go, 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 go. Okay, if you're not going to rest, you'll be forced to rest. I don't want to be forced to rest. Amen. So now, with all these things, because we're going to shut it down right there. With all these things, what if our heart condemns us? Because you could sit here and say, oh my gosh, I have every single one of these on the list. Well, if your heart's telling you that, then start checking them off the list. Right? But we don't get into condemnation over this, even if we can say, yeah, that's me. The worst thing you can do is get into condemnation and start beating yourself up and say, what an idiot I am. No, you repent and you make a change. You make an adjustment. You make a tweak. You make some kind of a minor, you know, adjustment there, or maybe it's a major adjustment, and you start doing the right thing. Don't be the person that sits across from me like Jesus said. He said in Matthew 7, if you don't do the word, there will be a crash. And people have sat across from me and said, you told me. It's like the woman I saw at the grocery store that I had not seen for, well, it would have been almost 10 to 12 years in that time frame. And I didn't recognize her because it had been so long. And she was going through a situation 10 to 12 years earlier at the Jamestown Church, and I sat down with her in a meeting at the church and told her what the Word says and what's going to happen in her life if she doesn't. I mean, Jesus prophesied, you don't do His Word and there is consequences. The wages not doing what he says. There is consequences. And I told her and told her and tried to talk her out of it, you know. Probably went even a little too far as just really trying to urge and convince. And she didn't do it. And I knew what her future would be. And I ran into her at the grocery store probably about a couple months ago. She said, "Pastor Mike." And I didn't recognize her at first. I said, "Oh my gosh, so-and-so." I don't want to say their name. And I didn't know what happened to this person. I hadn't seen her in so long. I hadn't heard anything of her. And I was shocked at her humility to say what she said to me. She said, "You were right. Everything that you told me that would happen happened in my life, and I suffered for years because of it." Well, that's a heavy load to hear that in the grocery store and you're checking out. I don't want anybody. You don't sit there with a told you so mentality. It's, that's what I was trying to avoid. I say, well, today's a brand new day. Just repent and go forward. Your best days are yet ahead of you. That's just the way it is with God. But why suffer? Why go through these things? Make changes, people. If you need to make adjustments, make adjustments. Yeah, but this, yeah, stop with the yeah, buts. Just do the word. Just do the word. These are in here, man. They're clear. Praise God. Well, it's not so much of a shouting and jumping service tonight, but this will keep you in the place to be able to shout and jump. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the help tonight. We worship you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We honor you. We bless you. We love you so, so much. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. You can look up here real quick because the Holy Ghost just dropped this in my spirit. And I need to say this concerning the, I'll say it the way it was in my heart. If you don't recognize the role that I'm to play in your life, you're going to get offended at me. Because when I say stuff like don't demand a face-to-face meeting, it could go to the mind would go to, well, who does he think he is? I'm not special enough to have a private meeting. The number one thing for you is to not demand my time. It's for me to sow the word into you. It's for me to teach the word of God to you. It's for me to sow into your life. It's for me to be a spiritual supply to you behind closed doors, praying and seeking God. Now, that doesn't mean don't ever ask, don't stop asking me out to lunch and things like that. If I can do it, I'd love to do it. But don't be that person that's like, if I say, "Could we do this by phone?" No, we can't do this by phone. Stop it. I can tell you the verses and the word and your help just like this, as much as I can like this. But if you don't recognize my role in your life is never to be a buddy with you, doesn't mean I won't love you and we don't have a relationship. Don't misunderstand me. If you look at, well, pastor's supposed to be this. No, my job is to pray and to feed you. Pray and to feed. Pray and to feed. And that, in and of itself, if that's all I ever did for you, you have it good. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you right thinking here, right? This is no way am I on a soapbox here because I'm angry about anything. But at times, even with my own shepherd, in less mature days, in times past, think, well, I remember back when he wasn't visiting my dad as much as I thought he should in the hospital. My dad had a stroke, and I had a set idea of what my pastor should do and what he shouldn't do. And I got offended with him. But yet, he's praying for me every day. Anytime I needed a word, I could just call him up, and he'd give me a word on the phone. And, you know, he's faithful to pray for me. He's faithful to show up at church, and I'm getting offended. Why? He became, in my mind, more than what he should have been. I didn't value what he was. I looked at all the stuff that I wished he was that doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean squat. Amen? That's from the Holy Ghost. I did not plan on saying that. But as soon as we went to pray, it just jumped in my heart. Just value and recognize my role in your life. It will keep you from getting offended at me. Amen? Well, he doesn't call me enough. He doesn't visit with me enough. That's not my role. My role is to be faithful to do this every week and to pray for you and be there when you need, right? Does that help you? Amen. Think, man, Pastor, you don't like us. No, I do. I like you a lot. I like you a whole lot. Love you. But we got to stay. The devil will use anything to try to get you divided from your pastor. He'll tell you all sorts of thoughts about me. People have told me. You wouldn't believe the thoughts I have about you, Pastor. Gee, thanks. Well, I hope you're casting those down. They're just a bunch of lies. I'll give my life for you. Amen? And there are times things demand face-to-face and sitting down with her and I and someone else. I get that. But if it can be handled over the phone, something like that, let's do that. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for helping us tonight. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. These are the kind of things that will make us a strong church. And Father, I know how the devil will work on people, and it's just a bunch of lies. Father, I give my life for every single person in this place, and you know I mean it when I say that. I'll talk for hours. If there's an absolute dire situation, I will be there. It's just, I love people, Father. So the devil, don't even try. Don't even try it, devil. We're not going to, just make up your mind right now in here with heads bowed, eyes closed, to never be offended at me. Never be offended at your pastor. Even if I was wrong, pray for me. Don't be offended at me. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't expect you to be perfect. Don't expect me to be perfect, okay? Deal? Thank you, Lord. We bless you tonight. We worship you. Lord, I know everybody in this room is born again. But I don't know. It just seems like we need just to worship him right now. I don't want to use the word heaviness because heaviness has a bad... It seems thick in here right now. Let's just worship him together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you. Bless you. We worship you and praise you. Oh, praise you, Jesus. We worship you. Just close your mind off and shut your mind off and just focus on him. One of the awesome benefits about praising and worshiping him is it gives your mind something to focus on, which is him. Sometimes it's hard to get that mind to shut up. Get your mind right on him by praising and worshiping. Just worship you. Bless you, Lord. We glorify you. Father, we want you to know that we know how worthy you are, how wonderful you are. Lord, so many of us have seen you do such great things in our lives, miracles, signs and wonders, have helped us, have blessed us, have turned situations around, have comforted us, have given us answers, have given us direction. Lord, we owe everything to you. We owe everything to you. And we glorify and magnify you here tonight. We praise your holy name. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise you and worship you. Bless your name and worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we glorify and magnify you. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just love you, Jesus, Master. Magnify you, Master. Glorify. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grandma Alice, can you come forward, please? Just go ahead and close your eyes. The guilt stops tonight. It's robbing from you. There's things that are being kept from you because you just keep going back, keep going back. It ends tonight. Freedom. Freedom from the thoughts of guilt. Condemnation. It ends tonight. No more from this place forward. It's all done. Everything. Everything. And a lot of the things, by the Spirit of God, I say this to you, that you beat yourself up on, they're lies anyways. The devil's a deceiver. Your past is the past. It's over. You're free. You're free, Graham. You're free. Thank him. Just praise him. Just praise him, Graham. Just praise him. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted to. Tonight it ends. It ends. Freedom. Free in Jesus' name. Free. Free, 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 free. Free. No more guilt. No more guilt. Satan, you stop it. You stop that. Jesus' name. Stop that. Jesus' name. If you're struggling with condemnation and guilt and shame, come forward right now. There's an anointing to break that off you. Now, you have to do something leaving this place, go forward with your mind the right place. But there's an anointing to jumpstart you. The anointing's like jumper cables. It jumps you. From that place you get jumped, you got to make sure your battery's maintained and the car's still fueled up. You still things you have to do once you get jumped, but it jumpstarts you. Condemnation and guilt, come up here right now. Don't delay. Come up here right now. There's an anointing to break that off you. You help, Grams. There's an anointing to break that off you. Love you, Grams. For those of you that are getting hands laid on you for this, you are going to experience a change tonight. It's going to be different, and that's going to be the anointing. Breaking that off you. Breaking that off you. Breaking that off you. No more. No more guilt. No more condemnation. I say, no. Even if it was a blatant sin, even if it was an accident, a mistake, if it was, it doesn't matter. It's your past is the past. The past is the past. You know what your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. That's what Jesus says. It's no more. It ends tonight. You'll never receive all that God has for you walking around in condemnation. In the name of Jesus, we break those thoughts off of her from head to toe. No more. No more. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Freedom. Freedom for her. Freedom for her. Freedom for her. Hallelujah. Thank you. This is praise him. All the guilt's gone. No more from tonight. No more. Freedom from that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship him. Let's worship him. Just soak it up, Jen. Just soak up his love. Just let him minister to you. I know this might be your first time you ever had hands laid on your laying on the floor. Just soak up his love. Just get right out of your head and into your heart. We're all with you. We're all on your team. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. This is one of those services that you'll never be the same. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you're so kind. I'm somebody that's made so many mistakes and done so many stupid things in my life. Thank you for mercy. I have screwed up so many times. I've made so many wrong decisions, and you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've never been angry. You've just always encouraged me to get back on board. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Pastor Nancy ministered to me one time, and she said, the compassion that's in me is going to help a lot of people. And the reason I am so compassionate is because I've received so much from him. Thank you, Jesus. Worship. Screwed up so much. You're so good. You're so good. I love you so much. Thank you for helping us tonight. And for those of you that had hands laid on you, it's your job to now renew your mind. Renew your mind to that your past is over with, and it's a brand new day. You are free to say that never happened. That never happened. That situation. You're free to say it. You're free to say that. Paul killed Christians, and yet he said, I didn't wrong anybody. Because he lived out of the reality that God gave him. God gave him a get out of jail free card. Tonight is your get out of jail free card from the guilt, the condemnation, the beating yourself up. No more. We praise you, Father. We bless you and we love you. And thank you for all of you that worshiped him and brought that presence in here tonight. Father, thank you for helping us. We bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.
Oh, Your kingdom rings unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forever.